Our first text will be the 4th chapter of Matthew and the 19th verse. Matthew 4:19. This shows us how Jesus began his work of training men to work with him in winning souls. There by the Sea of Galilee, he called Peter and Andrew. Our text says, "He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, they'd been catching fish. That was their business. They knew how to do that. But now Jesus says, "I want you to catch not fish, but what? Men." In other words, I want you to win souls. And what was the instruction he gave them? How were they to learn how to do this? Follow me, he says. And we can't do any better than that. If we want to be soul winners, the way to begin is to do what? Follow Jesus. He came where we are, that we might eventually go with him where he is. And we have to do that as we seek to win souls. We have to go where people are. Not merely geographically, not merely to their homes, to their countries, but we have to go out from ourselves into their world, into their situation, into their problems, into their needs. Turn to the 126th Psalm, please. Verses 5 and 6. You know, it cost Jesus something to come from heaven here to earth to win souls, didn't it? And it's going to cost us something if we follow him. Our text now in Psalm 126, 5 and 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Which comes first, the sorrow or the joy? Yeah. Which comes first, the sowing or the reaping? The sowing. Which comes first, the going forth or the coming again? The going forth. Now let's look at that for a moment, this going forth. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You know, in the days when the Bible was written, men lived in walled cities or in little villages where the houses were grouped together for protection. But if a man was going to do some agriculture, he had to go away from the village and go out where the fields were. Several years ago, when I was in Mexico, at one of our missions there, I noticed the Indians. In the morning, they would leave the pueblo where they all had their huts close together, and they'd go out into the fields and up on the mountainsides where their crops were growing to take care of those crops. Well, that's the picture here. He that goeth forth. In other words, dear friends, we will never win souls as long as we are content to just stay in our own little personal world. Now, don't misunderstand me. There are souls that need to be won in our families. But in order to do it, we must be outgoing. We can't be wrapped up in ourselves. Somebody has said that a man wrapped up in himself makes a very small bundle. And there's nothing more petty than the occupations and the preoccupations of the selfish soul. But this is what we all are naturally. We're all wrapped up in ourselves. And we tend to look upon everything that happens from the viewpoint of how it's going to affect us and our selfish plans. If it's going to rain today, the selfish soul doesn't think of all the benefits that that will be unless he happens to be in a work where he wants that rain. The selfish soul may say, "Oh my, I was going to do this or that today, and look, now it's raining and I can't do it." and so on with many experiences. Ah, my friends, he that goeth forth, who is willing to get out of himself, out of his desires, his wishes, his plans, his ambitions, he that will go forth with Jesus will win souls. Now the question is, how much do you want to win souls? This is a class in beginning soul winning. How do you begin? Well, as we saw yesterday, we begin by praying. This morning, we see, we begin by going forth. Nobody could sow seed in a house like this. He'd have to go out to the field. The field is where the souls are. Again, I say it might be right in your own house, your own home. It might be in your community. It might be in Africa or India. Wherever the field of God's appointment is, nearby or far away, he that goeth forth is the one that's going to come back with some sheaves. Will you be willing to lay aside your plans, your wishes, your ideas, and go forth with Jesus? Now, our opening text, Jesus says, do what? Follow me. In other words, he never asks us to do anything that he hasn't already done. The path may be narrow and steep and rough, but as we look, we see the Savior's footprints, and the drops of blood are there where the thorns have pierced his feet. Follow me. You know, when Jesus came to this world, Paul tells us in Philippians 2 that he emptied himself. He emptied himself. How much did he give up? He gave up everything. And the reason so few people are successful soul winners is that so few are willing to go all the way in self-surrender. You see, so many times when we begin to get a burden for souls, and Jesus begins his work of emptying us so that we can, we begin to pull away. We begin to argue with Jesus as to whether the thing he asks us to empty ourselves of is good or bad. Now, naturally, if we've been drinking whiskey, Jesus is going to empty us of that. If we've been using tobacco, Jesus is going to clean us up of that, isn't he? And so with many other things in life. But the soul winner must go far beyond that. He must come to the place, watch this point, where he is willing and anxious, not simply to give up everything bad so he can be saved, but give up everything, bad and good alike, so others can be saved. This is what Jesus did. Was there anything bad in heaven that Jesus left to come down here? No, no. And while he was here in this world, was he just thinking of giving up bad things so he could be saved? If our religious experience is largely made up of thinking, well, I've given up this bad thing and that bad thing and the other bad thing, I wonder if there's anything else I ought to give up. Ah, my dear friends, the test must come much closer than that. You remember, and turn please to Matthew 19. It was a young man that met this test. Sorry to say, he didn't pass the test. He failed in this examination. Matthew 19, the 16th verse beginning. This young man was a ruler of the Jews. And as he watched Jesus in his work and listened to his wonderful words, and as he saw him blessing the children, there came in his heart a longing that he too might receive that blessing. And so he came and talked to Jesus about it. And as Jesus looked at that man, as Mark tells the story, beholding him, he loved him. And love for Jesus was awakening in that young man's heart. Christ saw in him a young man that he could use in his work. Oh, friends, that young man could have had many stars in his crown. But first, he must go forth. And so Jesus tried to get him to be outgoing, to go forth. When the young man pressed the question of what he must do, what did Jesus finally tell him? In the 21st verse. If thou wilt be perfect, go. Go forth. Get out of yourself and your narrow little circle. Break through that crust of selfishness. If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. There's the echo of those words given to Peter and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee. Follow me. Follow me. And as Mark puts it, Jesus said, come, take up the cross and follow me. There's no other way to follow Jesus except to take the cross. Well, what did he do? 22nd verse. When he heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Oh, friends, what a pity. What a pity. He could have come with all his riches, all his possessions, all his talents of mind and money. But no. Because he had so much, he felt it was too much to give. But think of how little he had compared with what Jesus had given for him and for all other souls. But here is the test. Did this young man ever become a soul winner? No. He went away how? Sorrowful. Yes, sorrowful. He went away sorrowful. He felt that the price was too great, the cost too much, the sacrifice unreasonable. And really, as men would look at it, it did sound unreasonable. After all, here was this itinerant preacher with a few fishermen following him. And he was a learned, rich man, ruler of the Jews. And why should he give all that up just to work with Jesus? Why indeed? And he didn't do it. But he went away how? Sorrowful. And everyone who goes away from Jesus will go away sorrowful, my friends. Oh, as I think what people are selling their souls for, it seems to me, friends, no matter how much the world offers, it's so cheap. It's so cheap. As we noted yesterday, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the what? Stars. Why, to win even one soul is the greatest joy of life. But you and I, if we are willing, can turn many to righteousness. Oh, how wonderful it is, friends, to be a soul winner. But what did our text in Psalms say we must do? He that what? Goeth forth. He that goeth forth. You know the call porter. Every Monday morning, he has to fight this battle over again. Will he go forth or will he stay at home? And are there things that can come to mind that need to be done or that might be done to keep us out of the field? Oh, yes. We must settle this in our souls. It's he that goeth forth. And again, let me stress, the going forth may be right where you live. It may be right in the house where you sleep. It may be right in the institution where you're employed. But if you're wrapped up in yourself, you can miss the most precious opportunities. If your main thought is how to take care of you and get your plans carried out, you'll miss it. Like the rich young ruler, you'll miss the golden opportunity. But thank God, Peter and John and Andrew and James and Thomas and Matthew, they decided that what they were doing wasn't half so important as what Jesus wanted them to do, and so they left all and rose up and followed him. That's what we're to do. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I wonder if that young man enjoyed his beautiful home and his nice furniture and his wonderful chariot and all the rest of the things he had after that. Well, he doubtless lived it up, as we say. But oh, there must have been always in his heart, sometimes sensed, sometimes unconscious, that gnawing hunger, that thirst for something he didn't have. Did he lack something? Did he realize it on this occasion? Did he still lack it after he went away? And he never got it. He never got it. Fellowship with Christ in soul winning would have supplied that lack. Do you know why so many young people are just panting after the things of this world, and they try this pleasure and that activity and run with this person and then that one? I'll tell you why, Fred. They have this same hidden hunger that this rich young man had. There's only one thing can satisfy it, and that's soul winning. And every person, a parent, a teacher, a minister, a young people's worker, everyone who has on his heart the burden of trying to help young people to find joy in the Christian life must remember this and must understand that the only way anybody can be truly satisfied is to go forth with Jesus in soul winning. This is not for a few people like ministers and Bible workers. This is for everybody. Everybody. All who sow in tears shall reap in joy. And while much of the joy is in the future life, when we see those for whom we have labored there in the kingdom of God, even in this life, in this world, we get a foretaste of that as those for whom we labor surrender to Jesus and give their hearts to Him and unite with us and with Him in winning still others. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. The book Messages to Young People, page 227. 227. The work above all work, the business above all others, which should draw and engage the energies of the soul, is the work of saving souls for whom Christ has died. Make this the main, the important work of your life. Make it your special life work. Oh, this is it. This is it. What is my work? To be a soul winner. William Carey, who finally was used to open great areas for God in the mission field, was a cobbler. And there in Great Britain where he lived, he had on the wall of his shop a great map of the world. And as people would come in, they wondered what he was doing with that map of the world there in his shoe shop. He said, "My business is to win souls. I cobble shoes to pay expenses." And always on his heart as he was working over his last was that thought of those needy millions in the fields afar. And finally, God put him in India to open that great subcontinent to the gospel of Christ. Oh, friends, what is your business? What is your business? To win souls. To win souls. In other words, soul winning is not something that you can be successful in using it as a hobby. Now, you may have a hobby of stamp collecting or shell collecting or butterfly collecting. That's all right. But if soul winning is just a hobby with you, you'll never collect very many. Soul winning, to be successful, must be the main, the important work of your life, your special life work. And isn't it worth it, friends? Isn't it? Ah, yes. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Oh, the joy of the ingathering, the coming with the sheaves, the golden grain, souls, men and women and boys and girls, giving their hearts to Jesus as we work with them and as we plead with them. All right. Now, let us in our thinking go back to that scene again by the Sea of Galilee. Jesus is talking to those fishermen that have used nets and hook and line. And whatever method they've used, they've been working to catch fish, and they've done it. Now Jesus says to them, do what? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Who will make us fishers of men? Christ will. We can't make ourselves fishers of men. They'll never do it without it. But now in order that he may make us fishers of men. We must do what? Follow him. Again, on this page 227 of Messages to Young People, a very important sentence. The secret of winning souls can be learned only from the great teacher. You know what kind of a letter that T is that begins teacher? That's a capital. Who is it? Jesus. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The secret of winning souls can be learned only from the great teacher. Will you say it with me? The secret of winning souls can be learned only from the great teacher. Is it a secret? Well, then you can't learn it, can you? Oh, yes. Can you get in on a secret? Yes, if the one who knows the secret will tell you. But if you don't press up to him, you'll never know it. My dear friends, may I tell you very simply, I can't make a soul winner out of you. Oh, there's some folks I'd love to make soul winners out of, but they won't let me. But if everybody would be willing for me to make them soul winners, I can do it. All I can do is get their arms linked with Jesus and their hearts linked with Jesus, because he is the successful soul winner. And he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Do you believe it? Then if you do, and you're willing to go forth from your plans, your ideas, your ambitions, your desires, and link with him, then keep close to him. Because the only way you can learn from somebody is to observe what they do, and you have to be close. Whether it's repairing watches, cooking a meal, giving a treatment, making a garden, whatever. Follow me. Follow me. In other words, we learn to win souls by the apprenticeship method. And we are to be apprenticed to Jesus. Follow me. Now, what does this mean in a practical way? It brings us right back to where we closed in our lesson yesterday morning, and this is where it should. We need to study and contemplate the life of Christ on our knees, beholding in our imagination the scenes of his life and death. Down on our knees in prayer, we are not just to recite a list of names for whom we are burdened. We are to behold how Jesus lived and died. We're to listen as he talks with Nicodemus and wins that rich man. We're to watch as by the well of Sychar he talks with that poor woman of Samaria and wins her soul for eternity. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, we're to study on our knees how he worked with this one and that one and the other one, the different keys that he used to fit different locks. And as on our knees we follow him, he will make us fishers of men. Again and again, we will admire his tact, his courtesy, his strategy. We will see how he labored to win the hearts of men to himself. And as sure as we do that, we will be impressed by him how to apply what we see in him to the souls for whom we are praying as we talk with him there in the secret place of prayer. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul to thee. Let's sing it. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for thee. To win that soul for thee. To win that soul for thee. And may I
my part to win that soul for thee.
Now let's take this lesson into the laboratory of the closet and the laboratory of the field. And tomorrow morning we'll have another lesson. God bless you all.